So we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 12. By the way, how's everybody doing? All right. I'm going to start off by reading verses 1 through 12 to get us an overview of where we're going to be camping. And so if you could please just follow along in your Bibles for the reading of God's word. Amen. Amen when you're there. Amen. All right. Says this, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together, they were stepping on one another. He began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Verse 3, accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that day, in that very hour, what you ought to say. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for who you are, and you are a God of many, many chances, Lord God. As long as we have breath in our lungs, Lord, you're not done with us. And so I thank you, God, for your spirit. I thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And I pray that you will do a mighty work in our lives, in every single one of us in this room. We come from all different walks of life, Lord, but you meet us right where we're at. And so thank you, God, for your love and your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are 3 things that I want us to remember in this passage or in this scripture, portion of scripture. The first one is the lie, right? Jesus makes us aware of the lie. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. What does it say? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The second thing that I want us to remember is the truth. Luke 12, 7. The hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, for you are more valued than the sparrows. And the third thing I want us to remember is the power. Verse 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, this might seem a little broken up right now, but I promise I'll do my best to kind of try fill in the gaps. If you've been here for the last 2 weeks, then you would know that at the end of chapter 11, where we finished last week, deals mostly with these religious leaders in the text. The issues that Jesus had with them is that they were people who worshiped God externally, but internally their hearts were far from him. Do you remember that? Right. This is why Jesus quotes even in Isaiah, quotes Isaiah in Matthew 15. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me. And the point that Jesus is trying to make is that worshiping God, following God, isn't just a matter of outward behavior, just doing the right thing. Because people can do the right things, but they can do them for all the wrong reasons. But Jesus is saying that worshiping God and following God isn't just about what you do, but it's who you are. It's not just about what you do, it is who you are. I love this quote. It says, I think it's from Wiersbe. He said, reputation is what people think you are, but character is what God knows you are. See, God sees the inside. And if there's anything that God sees, it's what most people can't. And so this is what the Pharisees were really, really good at. They were good at pretending to be somebody they're not. In front of the people, in front of the crowd, in front of whoever their audience was, they were hidden. They were really closed off from being exposed, but in front of Jesus, they had nowhere to go. Nowhere. You see, at the end of every encounter they had with Jesus, they were left with only 2 choices. Humble themselves and repent, or they can continue living the lie. And so Jesus has a lot to say about this topic of hypocrisy, so much so that his attention is now geared towards his disciples in Luke chapter 12. And if you and I could just picture ourselves here, right in this text, in this moment, with thousands of people gathering around Jesus, trying to just get a closer look at him. And we know it wasn't just like this calm gathering, single-filed line. No, but it was chaotic. It was violent. It says people were stepping on each other. It was busy. And although Jesus' popularity was growing, we don't even know the true intent of the people in this crowd either. Although there could have been genuine followers that came to see Jesus, there could have been some who just came to see another miracle. Maybe some of them are there because they only want something from Jesus. Some who are still maybe on the fence about him. Some who are still skeptical about who this Jesus person is. And then to top it all off, you have the religious leaders who are set in persuading the same crowd to be against him, trying to find every reason to discredit and to destroy Jesus' ministry. And then you have his disciples who are right in the middle of all this. Now, could you imagine what they might have been feeling at this time? With all of the people's doubts and demands and all of the hate and hostility, could you imagine what it must have been like to be a follower of Jesus during this time? Probably wasn't the most easiest thing. See, they probably had their own doubts, their own questions, a fear of what might happen to them. Now, our lives might not look like this or look like what's happening here. But I think most of us know the pressure of what it's like to be a Christian in a non-Christian world. I think most of us here know the feeling of what it's like to be known as a follower of Jesus in a place where nobody else is following Jesus. From my own experience, it can feel awkward at times. Really awkward. Maybe even intimidating. People might look at you a certain way now, think of you differently. You might feel singled out. And so here's my question for you guys tonight. Do you act differently outside of the church than when you're in church? Myrna said no. You can be honest. Here's another question. What is your posture and your behavior like around believers? Is there a certain way that you act? Maybe a certain way that you speak with them? Then here's my next question. Is this the same with the people outside of the church? Now, I'm not talking about what Paul says as he says, becoming some to win some. I'm talking about like a Jekyll and Hyde. You know Jekyll and Hyde? Is there a consistency in who you are, or does this tend to change with different people, with different groups, with different settings, in different places? You see, in verse 1, Jesus warns his disciples of this very thing. He says to them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. See, back in those days, this word was used towards actors who put on masks to play a part. Even like the actors that we see in the movies today or the movies that we watch, they're only playing a role. That's not really them. They're either playing a character or a role, but in reality, that's not who they are. You see, Jesus warns his disciples against the lie, point one, which is religious hypocrisy. You see, these Pharisees were good at pretending to be somebody they're not. Although they may have appeared godly and righteous, Jesus knew that they were godless and wicked. They only had an outward religion but missed the inward relationship. This is why they were left unchanged. And so my question for you tonight, I'm going to ask a lot of questions. Here's another question. Do you truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Or is it just on Sundays? Maybe occasional Wednesdays. Bible study. Do you find yourself kind of playing the part or putting the mask of Christianity on just on certain days of the week? Maybe around certain people. Or is this who you are truly every single day? And so here's the good news. If that's you, you don't need to keep playing the part. You don't have to pretend to have a relationship with Jesus. You can have one right now. You don't have to pretend to be a changed man. He can change you. See, here's the bad news. Eventually, all masks come off. This is what he says in verse 2 and 3. He says, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. You see, before we just get into point two, Jesus is saying that eventually all things will begin to reveal itself. There are no secrets. There are no hidden things from God. And in the same way, a person can play a part for so long until his true nature starts to come out. And so this person eventually has to pick one. But more than pick one, nature will begin to take its course, and this person will no longer be able to hide himself. And so what he wants his disciples to know is that their decision to follow him isn't just a mere outward expression. Why? Because even the crowds came after Jesus. Even they wanted to see him, and even they wanted to follow after him and to hear him. But Jesus is making the point that what's most important to him and what's most vital for us and you and I tonight is the decision that we make inwardly. It's the decision that we make in our hearts. You see, God knows that our Christianity won't last if our hearts are not in it. No relationship, no marriage will last if that person doesn't have your heart. And so here's the next question. Does Jesus have your heart? And if you said yes, then where is he on that schedule of yours? Do you find yourself having to fit him into your life, or is he the one that organizes your days? Have you and I considered the possibility that our loyalties are divided right now? That's just between you and the Lord. Like, where do you find yourself giving all of your affections to? All of your time, all of your money, all of your energy? You see, his disciples were about to face a lot of hardship under the pressure of thousands of people, all of the demands and the opinions and the religious leaders who are in complete opposition against Jesus and his ministry. To be his follower wasn't an easy thing, guys. See, to be a follower of Jesus meant that if Jesus was being criticized and hated, guess what? So were they. To even be seen with Jesus or to be associated with him is to face the same kind of hate, the same kind of treatment, the same kind of criticism and the humiliation. And so if your heart wasn't for him, then what reasons do you have to stand with him? You see, we might not be facing persecution here today. We live on paradise. But we definitely can feel the tension of being the only Christian maybe at our workplace, or the only Christian in our homes, or the only Christian in our friend groups or in our neighborhoods. But see, that's not the real problem. This is the problem. The problem is that people can come to church and agree with everything that's being said up here, hallelujah, amen, but when they leave this place, they care more about what people say about them than what God says about them. And so this is what Jesus says in verse 4 and 5, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after have no more what they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one whom after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And so here we go, some more questions. Do you care more about what people say about you than what God says about you? And because of this, do you find yourself trying to impress others in order to gain their approval, even if you have to compromise your faith? You see, Jesus wants his disciples and you and I to know that their status, our status, their reputation, my reputation, what people thought about them is only for a moment. And yet Jesus makes it clear that what lasts forever is what God knows about them, what God says about them. And so here's point two. Did you know that God loves you and cares for you deeply? Did you know that? Let's read verses 6-7. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than the sparrows. You see, sparrows weren't worth that much money, only less than a penny. They were the cheapest type of living food in the marketplaces, and yet Jesus is saying that God doesn't forget any one of them. And then in verse 7, he moves on to the hair. Now, I know some of us have more hair than others, but that's missing the point. What Jesus is saying is that God loves his people. God loves you so much, and he cares, and he knows about even the smallest details of your lives. You see, God knows everything about you, every thought, every word, every action, and yet his love is unwavered. Could you imagine if other people could see what you're thinking about right now? Or seeing what you were doing day to day? And yet God does. He sees everything. He knows everything about you. And so this is my point. You can trust him. There is nobody in this life that knows you more than he does, who loves you more than he does, who cares for you more than he does, and who is aware of every single detail of your life. Did you know people lose about 100 hairs a day? On average. Do you know what time of the day those hairs fall out? I don't. But he does. And yet something as insignificant as hair is significant to him. But even though they know this, even though we know this, we still have to make a decision. We have to make a choice. Because although God is for us, are we for him? This is what he says in verse 8 and 9. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. You see, his disciples were told the truth. You see, they knew God's love for them. They knew that God's heart was for them. But even knowing this, they still needed to make a decision. You see, most of us here might have accepted Jesus already. Or we might call ourselves a Christian. We might be been here for a long time, but even look at Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. And so my question for you tonight is, where do you feel like you've been denying him, but where do you feel like you need to stand up for him? Where do you feel that maybe you've been quiet, not in here, but out there, maybe feeling a little ashamed or maybe a little bit embarrassed? Because this is the truth, guys. He's not ashamed of you at all. In fact, all of heaven rejoices because you're his. Now, here's my third point, the power. Let's read verses 10 through 13. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, he says, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, there's a lot of debate about what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. Some say if you committed this sin, then there is no forgiveness for it. Whether you try to accept Jesus or not, you're damned forever. Others say that it is the final rejection of Jesus Christ. And so for myself, I lean more towards the final rejection. We know that in John 16, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, that it's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Then we know that it's the Spirit's job, God's Spirit's job, to convict both the unbeliever and the believers. And so this is what I believe. I believe it's the rejection and even the slandering of the Holy Spirit in an unbeliever's life. That you can continue over and over and over again to ignore and reject the convictions that ultimately point you to Jesus, the only person that can save you. But for the believer's life, it's power. See, in the book of Acts, we know that Peter and John and the others prayed. And the place that they gathered together, it said it shook. And it said that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God in boldness. And so this is what I want for us tonight. If you've been playing Christian, stop playing. God wants more for you than just an outward religious behavior. He wants a beautiful relationship with you. You see, every day we encounter people who need Jesus everywhere we go, but if we're living a life of religious hypocrisy, then what do we have to offer them? You see, it was going to be these same disciples that would take the message of the gospel out into the world. And guess what, guys? We're called to do the same. But we cannot do that unless we're filled and empowered by God's Spirit. Yeah. It is hard to serve and live for a God we don't know. But He knows you. And He wants you. So will you give Him your heart tonight? Will you let Him take residence in you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. God, if there's any hypocrisy in our lives tonight, we acknowledge where we fall short. We acknowledge the hypocrisy, the lies. Maybe we've been living a duplicit life or a double life, and we repent of it. If we've been playing Christian, Lord, will you bring us into the real thing right now? Would you open our hearts to receive you fully tonight and say, Lord, here's my life. I also pray for your Spirit tonight to fall and to indwell into each person here so that we might start living a life of boldness, to not be ashamed of you but boast about you, to talk about you, and most importantly, God, to live for you. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say, amen.